God. Enjoy that singing this morning. Say amen. Amen. Some of you didn't like that shouting a whole lot. I'd like to be standing behind you the first time you see Jesus. Matter of fact, I'd even like to be standing behind you at the Quick Stop or the QT when you leave the register and you slip off to the side and get that quarter out of your pocket. Start scratching that little card you just bought gambling. You see that $500,000 up under there. You know what I bet you'd do? I bet you'd go. No, I believe you'd strip a gear. Just about like Brother Tommy. You said, well, he didn't win the lottery. Oh, he got much better than that. He got his sins forgiven. He got his name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then there's the material things that God has done and been so good. Hey, we got reason to shout this morning. I don't see how God's people sit around tight-lipped with a scowl on their face, with food in your belly and clothes on your back. Hallelujah, man. Take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 John. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but 1 John. Just back before the book of Revelations. Right back toward the end of your Bible. Boy, y'all glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Whew, boy, I'm telling you, I enjoyed that singing this morning. I could have handled a little bit more of that. 1 John chapter number 4. Say amen when you get there. I'm in no hurry. I'll wait on you if you're not there. Want everybody looking at the scripture this morning. And if your Bible doesn't say the same thing mine does, see one of us and we get you the right one.
Amen.
I'm a little leery of these churches where everybody's got a different Bible. That'd be like trying to teach school and everybody got a different math book. Smile. You'll be all right. Amen. It'd help if we just all get on the same page. Amen. 1 John chapter number 4 this morning, not trying to offend anybody. I just want you to understand what we're reading. 1 John chapter number 4, I'm going to read some of the most precious scripture, I think, in the Bible. And we're going to read and talk about, just for a minute this morning, the love of God. The love of God. How many of you are glad the Lord loves you?
Amen.
I am too. I cannot, every time I look myself in the mirror, I know me. And you know you. And I'm stand amazed that He loves me. He knows me better than I know myself, and He loves me anyway. The girls sing that song about, Lord, give me a drink of the water, and it's talking about the lady at the well. And she was I can't think of a real nice word to call her, but she was a loose living woman. How about that? Could we say that? That'd be all right. She was very worldly, I guess. And a part of that song says, He knew me. But yet He loved me anyway. Now, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is the greatest news in the world for you. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you know God, hey, this is a good reminder that you ought to shout like Brother Tommy because God loves you and you don't deserve His love. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. You got to understand that God is holy. That means without sin, He's perfect. God is just. You look at what He is and then you look at what we are. How can something holy and something unjust love something, or something just love something unholy and just? And I'm going to try to explain that just for a little bit this morning. 1 John chapter number 1, look with me at verse number 7. 1 John, I'm sorry, chapter number 4 and verse number 7. The Bible said, Beloved, let us love one another. Boy, that'd be a good job for the church, amen? I believe we could put that in our translation and say, let us not talk about one another on Facebook. I give you my best Joel right here. Amen. Let us love one another, he said. For love is of who? God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for, say it with me, God is love. Now, God's made up of a lot of attributes. And one of His greatest attributes is love. I think about this pulpit. We look at this and say, what is that? It's a pulpit. But its essence, what it's made up of, is wood. Would you agree? We look at God and we say, well, He's God and He's creator and He's this and He's that and He's all power and He's all knowledge and He's all might. But He's also all love. God is love. You understand, without God, it's impossible to love properly. I didn't know how to love my wife till I knew God. What verse did I stop at? Verse number 8. Look at verse number 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Father, as we come to You this morning, God, we pray that You'd bless the rest of our time here together today. God, have Your way. Lord God, I pray You'd illuminate Your word in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Lord God, may we leave thankful and knowing in our heart, God, that You love us. And Lord God, help us to love You and love one another. Bless as we try to preach this morning. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. My water boy is out this morning. Brother David, some of you men, wherever you're at, I need a water, if you'll get that for me. Listen, there is nothing in all the Bible like the Word of God. Brother Jeremy, is there somebody back there in the vestibule, one of our ushers? No. Somebody go find one. Brother Todd, go find me an usher. Tell him to get me. Brother Robbie's got it. Tell him to get me a water this morning. There is nothing in all the Bible like the love of God. It's the most overwhelming thing I have ever encountered in my entire life. Somebody help me right there. It's the most overwhelming thing I've ever encountered in my whole life is that the God of heaven, the one who spoke heaven and earth into existence, I'm talking about the God who sets high and sees low, who reigns over everything, loves little old piddling me. In a world of over 7 billion people, God loves me. Now, I'm talking about all the people who live from eternity past, all the people who will live in eternity future. God loves me. When I was a kid growing up, it was back in the hippie day. How many of you remember the hippie days? Come on, you 40 and over crowd. Grew up in the 70s and 80s. Peace, man. God loves you. Y'all remember that? Remember the bumper sticker that said, smile, God loves you. Y'all remember that? And it had a lot to do with that hippie movement, but let me say this morning, hey, child of God, smile, God loves you. You said, preacher, I'm having a hard time. Yes, but God loves you. I can get through a lot of things and go through a lot of dark places in my life because my wife loves me. When I'm out of town, I talk to her every day, sometimes multiple times a day, and it never fails. Before we hang up the phone, I'll say, or she'll say, I love you, and then she'll say, or I'll say, I love you too, or we'll say things like, I love you so much, and I mean, just constantly throughout the day, we're reminding one another of our love for each other. Sometimes our lives will hit rocky places and hard times, but we get through it and we go on because of the love we have for each other. Listen to me. Child of God, you're saved on your way to heaven. Hey, that does not exempt you from having tough times. You understand that? I'm saved. My son is saved. My daughter-in-law is saved, but their baby's in the hospital. You say, why would God allow? If He loves them so much, why would God allow that baby to get sick? God didn't have anything to do with it. We live in a world cursed by sin. Amen. You say, now that baby's not a sinner. No, he's not. I mean, he is. He's born into sin, but he's not reached the age of accountability. But he lives in a sin-cursed world. Amen. Amen. It ain't nothing to do with God. Man, that's just life. Jesus said, in this life, you shall have, thank you, Brother Robbie, you shall have tribulation. Hard times come to everybody. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. But we get through the rain, we get through the storm, and we get through the midnight hour because God loves me. If God loves me, I can get through anything. It's one thing to know God loves you, but it's another thing to experience God's love. I heard about God's love from a child. from the time I was 4 years old, the rest of my life, probably from the time I was born, but as far back as I can remember, I heard that God loves me. One of the first songs I ever learned to sing in my entire life, just before Sweet Home Alabama, was Jesus Loves Me. My mama taught me Sweet Home Alabama. Now, I'm kidding. Let me say it again, I'm kidding. It was the third song I learned. Anyway, the first song I learned was Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. How many of you know that little song? We could rear back every one of us in the house of God this morning and sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Most of you, the majority of you, you did not learn that song as an adult. You learned that sometime as a little child. We have been taught from the very beginning of our lives that Jesus loves us. But at 19 years old, that song became a reality in my heart and in my life, and it dawned on me for the very first time, He really does love me. And when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I didn't just have a head knowledge of the love of God, I had a heart knowledge for the love of God. That love I have for my wife, it gives me special feelings. I love my grandchildren. I don't know where Caroline went, but she has an argument. She was having an argument, and I was on the phone talking to my wife, and they were staying at the house. She was arguing with her grandmother. They called me Papa and Sister Angie Nina. And Angie was saying, "You'd say I'm Nina's baby." And she said, "No, I'm Papa's baby." She said, "No, you're Nina's baby." She said, "No, I'm Papa's baby." Well, Papa's in South Florida, 12 hours away, grinning from ear to ear, and my heart is going pitter-pat just because that two-year-old said, "I'm Papa's baby." It does something on the inside of me when I think about that precious little girl and her love for her Papa. She's got a shirt. I don't know where she got it. But it says, "Papa, Papa, Papa." That come home on one of my preaching trips. Amen. Amen. That's my, and something about that little girl. I can be having one of the toughest days. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can see those grandbabies. I got any grandparents in the house? Y'all better help me just a little bit. I can see that grandbaby's face, man, or hear their voice, and it just blows me away, man. Why? Because I love them so much, and they love me so much. You see, that's the way it is with God. When they get to singing about it, you say, "What's that guy shouting about? What's that lady shouting about? What's all these people clapping and hollering about?" It's the love of God that we're experiencing in our heart. Amen. I mean, boy, I'm telling you, it's just like we come in the house of God and start getting little heavenly kisses as we meet together. Somebody help me right there. Just little smooches. And I ain't being gross this morning talking about some kind of weird relationship with God. But we do come in here and we're reminded song after song and message after message that God loves a bunch of hell-deserving sinners. Amen. Amen. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. We got jailbirds in the house this morning. Jailbirds. You don't hear that term much anymore. Let me rephrase that. Convicts. People who were incarcerated. They sitting in church worshiping God. I know some of you are thinking, "Boy, I hope I'm not sitting next to one." You ain't far. You say, "How you know I ain't far?" They all over the building. Bunch of crooks, thieves, dope heads. Somebody help me right there. Not just dope smokers, but dope sellers in the house. Bunch of drunks. Bunch of sorry white trash sitting right here. Can I get a witness? But somewhere along the line, somewhere along the line, they found out God loves an old sinner like me. Hallelujah. And we come in the house of God and we're reminded of His love. And boy, we just begin to worship and praise Him. Why? Because we know how undeserving we are. Jesus loves me, this I know. That's the title of my message this morning. I don't know how far I'll get. I know what time it is. Some of y'all are really thinking, "We'll be through in 5 minutes." I figure we're close enough to the Alabama line, we can go by their clock. Actually, my phone's back there in my office. I watched it one day. My phone changes time before you ever even get there. So I'm just going to pretend we're there. Amen. It's 5 minutes to 11. I'll have you out by 5 to 12. Hallelujah. Few of you are laughing. A few of you are nervous. That's okay. I love the book of 1 John. I love every chapter of 1 John. I've read through it, I don't know, hundreds of times. I read this. That's why I'm preaching this message this morning. I got stuck on an airplane yesterday morning for 4 hours. I got on the plane in Fort Myers, Florida at 7:30. We left at about 11:45. You talk about some ill people. You talk about a grouchy bunch of, some of them started drinking, they was getting happy. I thought, good night, man. I got my Bible laying on my tray table and they're going around bringing about a second or third round of coffee and the stewardess, what do you call a steward? I guess a steward, not a stewardess. The guy, anyway. He handed my coffee, he said, you want something to go in that? And I just pointed at my Bible. I said, no. But I'm reading my Bible and I read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. I read every one of them sitting on the airplane. But I thought about 1 John as I read through there, and I just try to give you this right quick. And I got about 3 or 4 points, and I'll give them to you, and you can go eat somewhere. Amen. Go down to the Chinese place, get you some cat chow mein. Amen. 1 John. 1 John is written. 1 John is kind of a fourfold story. It is, you ain't ever had cat chow mein? I don't know, it's got to where every time I see one, I go with my mama to see one of them cats, I just get hungry, amen. In 1 John chapter number 1, we find out that the book of 1 John was written that our joy might be full in Him. I said, 1 John is written for the purpose that our joy might be full in Him. The Bible speaks of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, it takes a lot of joy to jump up and act like a fool like that this morning. I mean, Tommy looks dignified. He got on a suit and a tie, got a little gold chain, little bling on his tie. I mean, he's got it going on. I mean, got a nice looking haircut. You'd think he might be as big as he is, you'd think he's a banker. Maybe the president of the bank or something like that. Amen. You'd think he is somebody. But he jumped up this morning, acted a fool. You know what that was? You ever got so full of joy it had to come out somewhere? Man, this book is written that our joy might be full. You get hold of the love and the fact that God loves you this morning, you might go, woo. Hey, it tickled me to get that much out of some of you. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if you Presbyterian or something. He wrote it, and the Lord sent this book that our joy might be full. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, it is written that we might not sin against God. Amen. Listen, when you love somebody and you realize somebody loves you so much, you'll have a desire to please them. Some people that just sin willfully, you do stuff you ought not to do. We all do. We all sin. Don't get me wrong. But some of you just, I mean, some of, are, is anybody in here besides me a habitual sinner? Every one of them. But man, when we keep doing stuff over and over and over and it doesn't bother us in our heart, I got to wonder if you know God. I've never cheated on my wife. We've been married 30 years, December the 10th. And we ain't had a big anniversary yet. We going to sometime this summer. Everybody's going to look around and say, where's Brother Eddie and Sister Angie? We on a beach somewhere. Excuse me, Christians don't go to the beach. We're going to the coast, amen. We're going. We're going to slip off and celebrate our 30th anniversary. We've been married 30 years, and I've never cheated on her. But I imagine if I did, I'd have a hard time sleeping. Somebody said, why don't you do this or that? And they'll never know. I will, and God will. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Do you know that you do nothing alone? Let me say it again. You do nothing alone. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. So I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I don't care where you are, what you're doing, He's right there. I heard one old preacher say one time, if you go in a bar, you have to leave Jesus outside. No, He's on the stool next to you. You'll just go ahead and order him one while you're at it. He'll refuse it. It got quiet, didn't it? He wrote it that our joy might be full, that we might not sin against him. He wrote it in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 that we might know that we have eternal life. We have, I don't know why, I would dare say we have more visitors per Sunday than any church in this town. It's amazing to me. I don't know if it's our location. It's probably they saw my face on the internet and said, man, we got to go see that good looking guy in person. Is that it? Brother Bob said that was it. Amen. You want to be a deacon? You want to be, wait, you in, brother. Amen. Seriously, I don't know why they come, but I'm sure glad they do. I'm sure glad they do. I lost my whole train of thought. That was sin right there. I shouldn't have said that. Amen. I don't know why they come, but I'm sure glad they come. Amen. And we get a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different beliefs. I'm glad of it. I don't care if you got Presbyterian background. I don't care if you got Pentecostal background. Church of Christ, Nazarene. Brother David, one of our ushers, was Church of Nazarene. He grew up in Church of Nazarene. One of the greatest old evangelists that ever lived in our day. He's in heaven now. Uncle Bud Robertson, I believe. He had a hair lip. Uncle Bud Robertson. He's a Nazarene preacher. Boy, y'all, some of y'all dying on me. But we have people come in here who don't believe just like we believe. But we believe that you can know that you have eternal life. We believe that. Why? Because we have 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13 where the Lord said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Brother, it's not a hope so thing. It's not a maybe so thing. It's not a if I'm good enough thing. It's a he is good enough and he loved me and gave himself for me. Why? That I might know that I have eternal life. That's enough to shout over whether God ever heals you of diseases or whatever. Amen. It is written in 1 John chapter number 4, and we just read it in verse number 11, that we ourselves might love others the way God loves us. Man, wouldn't this world be a better place? I know everybody in the world's not saved, but there are a lot of them who are. If we could just get the saved people to love each other like God loves us, if we just love each other like we're supposed to love each other, whoo, man, this would be a sweet place, wouldn't it? Somebody help me right there. How many times you ever been flipped off by somebody on the interstate or in town who had one of them fish symbols on the back of their car? I want to follow them to Walmart and draw legs on it, that Darwin thing. Don't claim to be a Christian, drive around, act a fool, and wicked as all the devil. Amen. This book is written that we might know how we're supposed to love each other. I don't know how many of you ever been involved in a church where it was a fight and a fuss and an argument, this side against that side. I've been there. I've watched half a church stand up and walk out. I've watched them fire a preacher. I've watched best of friends turn on one another. You want to tell me God's in that? He ain't a million miles from it. It's sad when a bunch of drunks in a bar get along better than God's people do. Man, I'll never get this message. It's 5 after 11. Listen to me carefully. Listen, I've been in Florida all week. I'm on Florida time. Amen. Help me, Rod. We still on Panama City time, ain't we, bud? Hey, listen to me carefully. I preach all over this country. It never fails. When I go somewhere I haven't been very many times, the preacher will pick me up at the airport and we'll start driving down the road and they always point out the churches in the area. Brother Tommy, if I had a dollar for every time I've heard this statement, we'd pay this building off. Now, preacher, this church right here is a split off of such and such. And this church right here is a split off of such and such. This crowd right here used to go down there, but they got mad at the preacher, or they got mad about this or that. There used to be in church in Alabama, I don't know if it's still there, had a green roof on one side and a brown roof on the other. That ain't a joke, that's a God's truth. Half the church was roofed with green shingles, half of it was roofed with brown shingles. You said, did they run out of green shingles? No, half the church wanted green, half of them wanted brown. So the pastor said, I'm going to please everybody. I'll give you exactly what you want. Stupidest looking church in town. How about that? They don't love each other. It's sad we love a building more than we love each other. Hey, I'd be happy if I had to meet with you guys in the chicken house. As long as it had heat, amen. We can build a fire, amen. This church split off that church, this split off that church, this split. Never have I heard this statement. Brother Eddie, you see that bar? You see that honky-tonk right there? It split off that honky-tonk over there. That bunch of drunks over there got upset with the bartender. That bunch over there, they got together and half of them decided, you know, we don't like this bar anymore. We're going to find us a new bar. And somebody said, I got an idea. Let's start our own bar. Let's get our own bartender. I said it's sad and a bunch of drunks love each other better than we do. Anyway, whoo, I never get this message this morning, will I? The book of John was written for a fourfold reason. That our joy might be full, that we might not sin against Him, that we might know we have eternal life, and that we ourselves might love each other the way God loves us. There is a fifth and unwritten or unspoken reason that this is written. That's that we might show others the love of God. This book is written to combat a heresy of this day. There was a crowd that believed the way to God was knowledge. And the more knowledge you had, the closer you were to God. Now that sounds like something way back yonder in history, but we have that today. I have preachers, I preach in meetings all over the country. I have preachers who come up and shake my hand. Where did you go to school, brother? Paulding County. That's my answer every time. No, I meant what seminary did you go to? I didn't. And funny, they don't want to talk to you anymore. Well, brother, I'd have you know the Greek says. I ain't run up on one that could read it yet. They want to impress everybody with their knowledge. You get these preachers get up and tell you, well, in the Greek and in the original. They've never seen an original in their entire life. This bunch getting up here telling you a bunch of Greek and a bunch of Hebrew. I have trouble ordering at a Mexican restaurant. Amen. I remember the first time I ordered a chalupa. They brought that thing out. I said, I ordered a chalupa. They said, it is a chalupa. I said, not at Taco Bell. It's totally different than that. Amen. Amen. I know nothing about no Greek. God gave me an English Bible. Amen. Amen. Knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, friend. And there's nothing wrong with an education. I'm not against it. But I'm against thinking that the more we know, the better we are. Listen, man, I may have to two-part this. Man has more knowledge today than he's ever had in history. Would you agree to that? Listen, man, I ain't got it. I left my phone in my office. I've got a phone that will do just about everything but cut my grass. And they come out one of them, I'm upgrading. Amen. Man, I'm talking about we driving down the road and we got an Outback Steakhouse gift certificate for Christmas and ain't used it yet. They closed them things down everywhere, man. There's one in Douglasville. I got my wife. I said, I wonder where an Outback. Buddy, she don't bat an eye. Google. Can you imagine that? In the palm of your hand, a computer. Yes, sir. Y'all remember them first computers? They as big as that thing right there. Y'all remember that first internet? Bang, bang, bing, bang, bong, bang, bang. Sound like Chinese. Y'all remember that? Remember the first cell phone? It was in a big old bag and you had to carry that thing around? It was about that long? Man, I'm talking about technology, friend. Man has got more brains than he's ever had, but yet we're further away from God than we've ever been. Look at the state of our country. Look at the state of our government. Look at the state of our world. Knowledge has not helped us. It hadn't driven us closer to God. It's made us self-efficient and further and further and further away from God. Whew. So in this epistle, as he's defending this thing and talking about the grace and the love of God. He talks about this great God and he talks about his love. Listen, in the book of 1 John, 135 verses, 46 times the word love is found. 46 times in five little chapters, the word love. It must be important. God must want us to know this morning that he loves us. Can I give you three things right quick before we go eat the cat chow mein? Amen. I don't know. It may be chihuahua chow mein. Whatever. I hope it's cow chow mein. Amen. Listen, we want to look at a couple of things about God's love this morning. And I hope there's somebody in the church house this morning that realizes for the first time in their life, God loves me. God loves me. We think we got to get to a place where we're lovable. Mm-mm. I was watching one of those commercials the other day. They make me sick, by the way. Them animal commercials. Y'all seen them? And they try to make you feel sorry for a bunch of dogs. I got a dog. I like my dog. But man, I watch that commercial, please send money, and they show Fido and his big old sad eye. Please save the puppies. Yeah. How about save the babies they're killing? Amen. Every single day. Amen. Ain't no commercial of one of them. Yeah. Amen. Man, God loves us.
Amen.
People get all up in their arms over them dogs.
Yeah, come on.
You got to be careful, man.
Yes, sir.
Do you know if your dog gets sick, I'm talking about eat up with rabies or the mange, it's incurable. If you shoot your dog, it's illegal.
That's right.
Man, growing up, people used to shoot them because they wouldn't hunt.
Amen.
So you don't hunt, you don't eat. Bam. I can shoot you and get another one that'll work tomorrow. Amen. You shoot your own dog, you go to jail. We had a pit bull. I hope it wasn't y'all. That's my neighbor right there. We had a pit bull dragging a log chain in our yard. I'll never get this preached. Hey, if I leave all this other stuff out of my... We had a pit bull in our yard. I was out of town preaching that thing dragging around a log chain. My daughter, Katie, came out to go to work, and that pit bull sitting there looking at her going... She called me, she said, "Daddy, it's a pit bull, won't let me out of the house." I said, "Call the pound." The pound got there. Katie called me, she said, "Daddy, they're taking this dog home. They said they know where it goes." If I come to your house and you try to come out your door and I stand there and slobber and foam at the mouth at you, they will put me in jail. And they wouldn't even take that bulldog to jail. I said, "Put the woman on the phone." She'd get the pound lady the phone. I said, "Ma'am, I promise you one thing. I'm out of town right now. When I get home, that dog comes in my yard, it's going to die of lead poisoning."
Amen.
That's my yard. I'm telling you, we're living in a mixed up society. They put more value on an animal than they do human life. Man, I got sidetracked. We read the scripture this morning. We talked about how God's love is described. God's love is described. Did you know for years man has tried to describe his love for his mate in song and poems? There are millions and millions of poems. Oh, what's his name? Shakespeare wrote about great love stories. Macbeth and what's their name? That died, Romeo and Romeo, oh Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? People have been infatuated with love and trying to express their love for one another. And you know what God does? He's given us a love letter. He's given us boy, we could go from book to book and chapter to chapter and talk about the love of God. It's manifested starting off in the book of Genesis, right in the beginning, right shortly after creation. God shows his love for man by making a covering of sin. And God tries to explain and show and exercise his love all throughout the Bible, but not just the Bible, all throughout time, God has shown his love. His love, I'll give you a couple of things right quick. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9, it's unspeakable. It's unspeakable. What do you mean? There's not a poem that can explain it.
Amen.
What's that song y'all sing, Brother Todd? There's not enough notes in the music. There's not enough words. Did I mention that I love him? There's not enough words. There's not enough notes in the music. There's a great song in our hymn book, The Love of God. If we could with ink the ocean fill and the sky were of parchment made, if every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, the scroll could not contain the whole. It's talking about the mighty, mighty, mighty love of God. And we sing about His love. And we preach about His love. And we teach about His love. But we have not begun to scratch the surface, because mankind will never fully understand how great the Father's love is for sinners like you and I. It's unspeakable. Jeremiah 31, verse number 3, it's unending. It's unending. It amazes me how men and women stop loving each other. They come in my office, sit down, "We just don't love each other anymore." Well, you never did.
Amen.
That's right.
Real love is unending.
That's right.
Forgive me for quoting the old possum, but George Jones said he stopped loving her today.
Yeah.
He stopped loving her today. What was it? He's dead.
That's right.
When he died, boy, some people got uneasy right there.
Amen.
Man, that's the way love ought to be. It ought to be unending. And the love of God for us is unending. God didn't just love me yesterday. He loves me today. And He'll love me tomorrow. And the next, oh, good God Almighty, He'll love me throughout all eternity. His love is indescribable. It's unending. I like this. It's unselfish. We love each other because He just loves us. It's unselfish. It asks for nothing in return. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him shall never perish but have everlasting life. He didn't say, "I'll love you if." Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. God don't love you because you're a certain race. Some of you rednecks, or just get right with God.
Amen.
Well, I believe in a supreme race. You're stupid.
Amen.
You got problems, you need a pill.
Yes, sir.
You're superior to nothing.
Amen.
God don't love you because you're white. He don't love you because you're black. I had a guy on an airplane one day told me, he said, "Don't you know the Lord's black?" I said, "Man, you ain't never read the Bible." He said, "Well, he ain't white." I said, "Well, he ain't black neither." I said, as far as I know, he's a Jew."
Amen.
He won't get in this big argument. Tell me God is black. I'm talking about Jesus. Y'all listen, everybody's all caught up on what color you are. God don't care.
That's right.
I cut you, you know what color you're going to bleed. Just like any other dog.
Amen.
People can't handle that.
Yeah.
His love is unselfish. It asks for nothing in return. It's unmerited. God don't love you because of where you were born, how much money you got in the bank. Some people think God loves them better because of what they drive. God could care less what you drive.
Amen.
You got this bunch of prosperity crowd, this Creflo dollar mentality. Oh, God wants you to prosper and God wants you to be rich. Jesus didn't even have a home.
Amen, preacher.
Jesus was homeless.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He said, "The birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head."
Amen.
Jesus was a homeless man.
Amen.
I read a story about a fella who ran up on a homeless man. Roughest looking guy he'd ever seen. The man wanted $20. He said, "Tell me this, if I give you $20, are you going to use it and go fishing?" He said, "No, I don't fish." He said, "If I give you $20, are you going to use it and go on a hunting trip?" He said, "No, I don't hunt." He said, "Well, I tell you what, instead of giving you $20, I want to bring you home, get you a haircut and a shave and a bath and a brand new suit of clothes, and let my wife fix you a home-cooked meal." He said, won't that offend your wife? He said, I don't care. I want her to see what a life without hunting and fishing does to a man. Amen. Amen. Some of you fellas ought to say amen right there. God's love is described. It's unspeakable. It's unending. It's unselfish. And it's unconditional. Thank God. We could go on and say that His love is supernatural. His love is sacrificing. But not only that, His love is satisfying. His love is satisfying. Do you know why people who are hooked on drugs have to keep doing them every day? Because they never satisfy. I got saved one time. 29 years ago. I'm still satisfied. Oh, I go back to the fountain and get a drink. Amen. I ain't never had to get saved again. God's love is described. Then it's demonstrated. His love is not only described in the Bible, it is demonstrated. And God's love is demonstrated best. There is no greater canvas to demonstrate the love of God than Calvary itself, where Jesus suffered and bled and died to save us from our sin. He stood in the gap. He stood between heaven and hell that you and I. He is our bridge, if you will. He demonstrated His love by shedding His own blood. I quoted a while ago, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He stood in the gap. Listen to this. Not only that, He saved us from hell. Amen. I'm not going to heaven because I'm good. I believe the Bible. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. Let me tell you what the Bible says about us. There is none good, no, not one.
That's right.
You say, so-and-so's a good man. Well, if he is, it's because Jesus lives inside.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people are good on the surface, but boy, if you could pull the covers back.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all all right? He stood in the gap. He saved us from hell by the shedding of His own precious blood. Thank God. His love is described. His love is demonstrated. But I want to show you how His love is displayed this morning. And we'll go to the house. Besides Calvary. Everybody can't see a picture of Calvary. I've met people, believe it or not, who have never heard the word Calvary. They don't know about the cross. They don't know that Jesus died for them. But the greatest way besides Calvary, the next greatest canvas for the love of God to be seen is in the lives of His people. I wonder when lost people examine our lives and they see us in the workplace, they see us at school, do they see the love of God? You going to go into work tomorrow grouchy and crabby? With a sourpuss look on your face? Do you gripe about your job the whole time you're working? I've never been to the unemployment line and heard people standing there griping about their job. You'll be glad you have one. I can show you some people who don't. Amen. His love is displayed in the lives of those redeemed by His grace. We see it all through the Bible. In Genesis 40, 45, we see love manifested in forgiveness. Joseph forgiving his brethren. He lived a life of turmoil and wrongdoing. So and so did me wrong. You ain't got a clue. You hadn't got a clue. How many of your family sold you into slavery? How many of you got accused of rape and sentenced to prison?
Yeah, preach,
Joseph did.
Amen.
Yeah. And he didn't do anything wrong.
Amen.
And when his brothers, who caused his whole sad lot in life, stood before him, the Bible said he couldn't refrain himself anymore.
Yeah.
And he uncovered his face, and it scared them brothers to death when they realized who he was. You know what Joseph did? The Bible said he fell on them and kissed them. Should have been his greatest enemies in the world. He said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. Go get my daddy and bring him down here. Tell him I'm alive in Egypt. We see God's love manifest in forgiveness. Man, we ought to forgive one another. There are people in this room. There are two individuals, probably more than that. But I know of two individuals where one has done the other wrong. And you still love each other. You know why? Because you got the love of God in your heart. Amen. We ought, listen, I don't care who you are from time to time, you're apt to do something stupid.
Amen.
You ever do something and went, I can't believe I just did that. Cannot believe I just did that. And the outcome of it hurts. Sometimes we do stuff stupid and we hurt one another. Sometimes people do stupid stuff and they hurt us. But they're people. My puppy pooped in the floor. I didn't shoot it. It's a puppy. Is y'all okay? Some of y'all having trouble right there. Get over it. You forgot the whole message. That's all you're going to think about the rest of the day. That and cat chow mein. It's a puppy, man. You clean up the mess and you go on.
Amen.
Amen. Man, in our lives, and we dealing with other people and dealing with each other, we clean up the messes and we just go on. We deal with it. We get over it, man. If you live a life of unforgiveness, you're a bitter, unhappy person. I feel sorry for you. Amen. We see it in forgiveness with Hosea, whose wife went out into whoredom. He bought her. His wife was enslaved. She was on an auction block. You know what the Lord told him? Go buy her. He didn't say go divorce her. Go buy her. We see His love manifested in redemption. That's what Jesus did. At Calvary, He bought you and I back for the Father. Amen. We see His love and compassion with Barnabas in Acts chapter 15. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see it in healing with the Apostle Paul. Man, we see love, God's love displayed. Listen, I'm talking to two kinds of people this morning, saved and lost. If you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior. You're on your way to heaven when you die. We're supposed to show people God's love every single day of our life. Brother Bruce DeLange will be here next Sunday, one of the greatest soul winners I've ever seen in my life. He's from South Dakota originally. He has a gospel track that the Fellowship Track League made. I gave one to my wife last night. It's got him and Mr. DeLange's picture on the front of it. Everywhere he goes. Me and him went into a coffee shop on Sanibel Island the other day, Brother Carlos. He walked in the coffee shop. We got coffee, and the guy was behind the scene. He said, can I give you a souvenir from South Dakota? The guy said, sure. He gave him that gospel track. He said, I bet you I'm the first preacher from South Dakota to ever give you one of those. He said, you're right about that. I mean, boy, just sit there and talk to the guy. I said, the van's leaving. He said, they'll come back. He cared more about talking to that guy. Before he left, you know what he told the guy? Standing behind him, never met him in his life. He said, hey, buddy, love you, man. Be praying for you. He said, that's just weird. No, man, I thought that was cool as grits.
Amen.
We ought to be able to meet perfect strangers and say, hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. Amen. God's love is manifest through us. When the love of God is present in our lives, it'll be visible in the lives of others. Or it'll be visible to others in our lives. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm trying to quit. It's 11:30 in Alabama. Amen. We'll be out of here in just a minute. But listen, let's bow our heads together this morning. Brother Todd, you and Miss Ashley, maybe Elizabeth, y'all come and get us a song. Y'all can sing Jesus Loves Me if you want to. I don't care. Whatever you got on your heart. But let's bow our heads. Nobody looking around this morning. I wonder how many people wouldn't be ashamed and would lift their hands this morning and say, preacher, I know that God loves me and I've trusted Him as my Savior. If I fall over dead right now, you tell my family I'm in heaven. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. How about it? You just put your hands up, put them right back down. That's just about everybody in this whole building. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? If Jesus came right now, we'd just all go together. Man, that'd be good. That'd be wonderful. Hey, if you raised your hand just now, let's do our best. Listen, we're going to preach against sin. That's what God told us to do. We're not going to laugh at sin. I mean, boy, we're going to despise it and hate it. We're not going to sit around and judge everybody. We're going to love people. Let's let our co-workers see the love of God. Let our mates see the love of God. But listen, as sad and as bad as I hate to mention it, everybody in this room didn't just raise their hand. Everybody didn't raise their hand, Brother Charles, and say, preacher, I know if I died right now, heaven would be my home.
Man, I sure would like to pray for you. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing in this world. But if you're not sure, heaven's going to be your home. Man, we'd love to remember you when we pray. We'd love to see you get that settled today. If you're not sure about your eternity, you'd like preacher to pray for you, would you just slip up your hand? I promise I won't come to you or embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'll go to heaven when I die. God bless you, ma'am. Is there any others? Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I can really know, like you said the Bible says, that I'm going to heaven when I die, I'd like to have that settled this morning. Please remember me. Anybody? Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning, Lord, thank you for a good day. Lord, I noticed the sun was shining this morning and the birds were singing. God, it's a beautiful day. But Lord, what makes it even sweeter is knowing your love for me. Lord, if I were you, I wouldn't love me. Lord, I wouldn't love the majority of people in this room. But Lord, you do. You love us in spite of our own selves. Father, I just thank you and praise you for that. Lord, you saw every hand in the building this morning. You know every heart. We pray you'd have your way in this altar call. Father, I pray as we leave here, you help us as your children to show the love of God in our lives and our actions toward other people. Help us today, God, and we'll thank you. We'll give you glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.